Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Turn up your radio. Do not adjust the dial because the Commanders won a damn game.
Yeah.
Jeff just came in here complaining about stuff. We'll get to all that, Jeffrey. I'm in that locker room after every game.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been in a winning locker room in 10 months. It was New England last November.
Long time.
Yo, they hadn't won a game in almost a calendar year. Wow. They hadn't won an NFC East game in two calendar years.
Yeah.
They hadn't beaten the Giants since week 17 of the 21 season. So, listen, I get it. There's a lot to discuss. I don't know what happens if the Giants have a kicker. There are serious defensive problems.
Well, guess what? They didn't have a kicker,
right.
So who cares?
Like, there are serious defensive problems that, frankly, I just don't think are getting fixed. But they won.
Yeah, a lot of coaches say it's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's true. And when you get one, you get one. Because let's be real. There are a lot of teams that were and won last week, and everybody was talking a lot about them. They lost this week. You know what I mean? We lost last week, and then we come back and you get a victory. It's all that matters. And I think the ultimate thing is, there were bad things, but there were a lot of good things in the game. You have to give credit for it.
I think the good things, we're starting with the good things, damn it. And, Brian, last week you and I don't know if we disagreed, but I was like, yeah, I thought Jaden was good, but I just know he can do a lot more. And I think the first half yesterday, he was getting his ass kicked a little bit. I think he was a little quick to run. I think the O-line was getting beat. He took four sacks in that first half. Obviously, the big shot to the ribs on the scramble. Had to come out for a play. Got the wind knocked out of him. It happens.
Yep. And the guy led with his helmet. The referee could have called that, as he could have called the one that was out of bounds.
The one out of bounds was so egregious.
So
I don't know how on earth that didn't happen.
This NFL that say that they are so concerned about the health of players, they lie.
What is astounding to me, particularly about the one on the sideline, he was 2 feet out of bounds.
Yes.
Like, he was a yard out of bounds. They protect quarterbacks so much that I thought that was just a absolute joke to not call that. But B, what stood out to me most about Jaden, he completed 80% of his passes, which is pretty damn good. But dude, I think the second half of that game is when we really got our first glimpse of who I think Jaden is as an NFL passer. And that guy is really freaking good.
I mean, he's good. And now the thing, like, I watched the game yesterday, and my whole thing is, we have to let him be who he is.
He's going to learn. Okay. Like, it's happening in real time.
It's happening in real time, but I think everything he does needs not be scrutinized. Because I'm going to be honest. You can say what you want. When he's on the football field, he's going to do what he thinks it takes to win the game. And that is something you never want to temper that's in somebody. Like, the one play he was running, and, you know, you want him to get down, but, hell, he shit, boom, boom. He got the first. Well, they called him short after they went back and looked at it. But he didn't take a hit. He adjusted. And
the one where he got out of bounds.
The one where he had split the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
When one guy ran past him, he split him. But, dude.
I'm not even in the scrutinizing of the running
right now. No, I'm not saying, it's not you. It's like, I hear every time he runs a play, I'm hearing people. And I want to scream, and if I had hair, I'd pull it out and go, it is tackle football, people. What the hell you expect him to be playing touch while everybody else playing tackle? Because eventually you're getting hit. You know, and if you look at the lick, he was being hit by one guy. Another guy came in, spear, crown of his helmet. Exactly how they, because they will call that. They didn't call it. So, you know, people will take cheap shots and do things of that nature, but you got to let people play football.
What I care about most is, one, I mean, he's repeatedly shown a level of toughness that I don't think you see from a lot of quarterbacks, especially a lot of rookie quarterbacks. He's shown the competitiveness, the desire, all those things. But frankly, I thought he already had all that. What I think he showed us yesterday in the second half of that game, that he can beat you from the pocket. And I think that's by far the most important thing for NFL quarterbacks. You don't want to change anything. I'm not trying to stop him running anything. The second half of that game, he was 12 of 16 for a 140. He hit the, like, where, I listened to the conversation and see on Twitter, and people are worried about, like, Jamin Davis. Take a second. Take a deep breath. You had a rookie quarterback in his second ever NFL game engineer a two-minute drill drive for a win.
Yeah.
Who's the last, like, who's the last quarterback in Washington you felt comfortable, yo, he's going to take us down the field and get a win?
Not often.
The throw to Noah Brown on an in-breaking route, maybe, I don't know.
That was a bang eight. They call it a bang eight where he's going up the field, five hard step, boom, inside ball's there.
Dude, that throw is so good and so accurate. Noah Brown, by the way, already gives him something different. Mm-hmm. Just when he's running around out there, he's big. He's long. It looks different than everybody else. If your takeaway from yesterday with Jaden or yesterday with the team isn't, oh my God, this quarterback gives Washington a chance every time they step on the field, then I feel like we're watching something different. And I feel like that is so far and away the most important lesson from yesterday. And not that in Tampa he was bad, he was pretty good. And not that in the first half yesterday he was bad. They were still moving the football. But in the second half, you start to see, at least in my eyes, you started to see the passer that Daniels proved to be at LSU that absolutely torched everybody. And as that dude grows more comfortable, that was his fourth half of NFL football. Like, this is happening at such an accelerated timeline.
What did David Aldridge say? David Aldridge said if he can do one thing per game to show you why he was drafted at the second pick, you got you something. He's done more than one thing per game. That drive was engineered perfectly. And the thing of it is, there are going to be times where your quarterback will be getting their butt kicked. I watched Cincinnati and Kansas City yesterday. Two that we consider damn good. They were getting their ass kicked at certain points
in
the game.
You watched Caleb Williams last night?
I watched him. But I watched a lot of quarterbacks that are extremely good and established. They were losing at one point. But what did Pat Mahomes do down the stretch to get him down? Got him in a position, get a guy a chance to kick a field goal. You have to have that little knack in you, that type of nerve or whatever in you, or have that about you to be able to go out and do those things. He does. And I just think that it's like we get people sometimes and we get to a point where we want them to be perfect. Nobody's perfect out there. You know, I look at a lot of games yesterday where teams were perfect last week, look like garbage this week.
The Ravens are 0-2.
That's what I'm saying.
The Ravens just lost to the Raiders in a game. The four of us sat here on Friday afternoon and said, there's no way Baltimore possibly loses.
Yeah, we
right?
said that.
Right. There are so many talking points, and we got 4 hours. We're going to talk about all of it, and I'm really excited. Joe Theismann will join us at 11 to continue kind of – he's been gracious enough to talk to us about what he's seen from Jaden week after week. I think you saw – there were two adjustments made yesterday at halftime, and I know that the lack of adjustments with the previous staff drove you crazy, Brian. Two adjustments made yesterday at halftime. I think defensively, Mike Davis can't play. And there's a reason he didn't play in the first game. Mm-hmm. And then they had him on the field yesterday, and he got absolutely torched. That last drive the Giants had before halftime where it was just the Malik.
They were going at him.
It was the Malik Nabers show. They just put a target on there and said, let's go get him. Then they benched him. They moved BSJ over to Nabers. You get Noah Eye on the field. That helped. Nabers is a stud. He's still going to get his, but that helped. Yeah. BSJ played a really good game, slowed that down. That's a defensive adjustment that helped. I like that. Clearly, there was an adjustment also with Daniels, whether it was just his own internal clock, whether it was coaching, whether Cliff sat him down or Tavita or Brian Johnson or one of the eight other former quarterbacks they have there to help him. Clearly, something adjusted because the ball started coming out faster. He still ran. He was still an effective runner, especially late on that drive when he took the keeper to the edge and got out of bounds. Before
if you look at that, when he was getting ready, I thought he was going out of bounds. But
I thought he was thinking about cutting it up.
Yeah.
Dude, he's smooth, man.
You don't take away the running, period. You do not. But he was so good in the pocket. And if you go back to LSU, you go back to his best games, he's winning from the pocket with the quick release. And, dude, if I don't even know that it's if. Frankly, I have had steadfast belief in this young man to be a stud NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. When that fully develops, when that develops to the NFL stage, you got something. You got something serious.
Well, I think you
and
have
maybe
something.
It's happening.
I think the ultimate thing is, the thing I realized, OJ, you could go into a game wanting to do that the whole game. The other defense get paid too. Those coaches over there make you have to do some things, make you try to move you off your spot. He has it in him, and if he can do it for 2-3 quarters a game, that's cool. Because I was watching Pat last night. They were giving Pat fits. They were giving Joe fits late. They gave Pat fits early. Down the stretch, Pat came up. I would love to see, like, when you go into a game, normally it's like a boxing match. You're filling each other out to see what you can get, what you can't. And then once you figure it out, you go for it. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And he's a little early in his career to expect him to come out of the box already knowing.
Totally.
You know?
That's why I think yesterday was such an incredible sign of progress to be that dialed in. I mean, dude, if you just look, listen, you need touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah, you do.
Like there are some warts to this win for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just looking at the quarterback and you're anything but wildly impressed, we're breathing different air.
I'm like this.
Like
we need touchdowns,
it.
But you know what? We found a kicker. He made more kicks in one game than all the other four before him made together, probably.
Let's
just be real about it.
Yo, how about Austin Seibert, who I believe is from Illinois and went to college at Oklahoma? Like, he came out in a Dodgers hat, a blue Dodgers hat with a Death Row Records t-shirt on, and I was like, is this dude a Crip? Like, do I need to adjust what I'm seeing here?
Nah, he said he just liked the t-shirt. He didn't even know what it was about.
I asked him. We all kind of asked him as he was leaving, but it was a vibe. It was you yell at me about what I wore when we went out in L.A. that night. Like, I don't know that Austin can wear a blue Dodgers hat with a Death Row t-shirt and walk
around. At least he did it in D.C. You sure. Did it in L.A. What the hell? But he's saying, Dave Butts, senior, or somebody's his agent?
Wait, what?
He told me this yesterday. His agent. Dad was Dave Butts Sr. or something, he said.
Wow.
Something about that on the line. They're from the same hometown and everything else.
Okay. I'll try to find out what that is.
Yeah.
Seibert, I don't know the answer to this, but is 21 points like a record?
It's a record for the team.
For scoring without a touchdown?
Yeah.
I know that the seven field goals is a record.
It happened another time, I think, in a game. There was a second time a team has given up touchdowns and have not given up a touchdown. They scored a touchdown and lost. That's the second time that happened. Another kicker kicked 8, but it was the 11th time in NFL history that a kicker had kicked 7 field goals or more.
I mean, for Washington specifically, and I got this from—
The record was 5, I think, at first. Chip Low Miller.
Well,
and also Hopkins.
Hopkins had a 5-kick game.
Yeah.
Charlie Muley does PR and provides stats for the Commanders, does a great job. It was the 7th time the Skins had won a game without scoring a touchdown in franchise history. Now, if I had to guess, a bunch of those were back in like 1936 or something when people were winning 2-0. So it's the first. It's the 7th time they've done it, winning a game without a touchdown. I think you were on the field for one of those.
The 91 game, he kicked 5 field goals over 50 yards.
No. What? When was the 3-0 Jets game?
The 3-0 Jets game? That was a horrible game.
But you guys won, right?
Yeah, it was. No, I don't think we won it.
Oh,
we lost that game.
You lose 3-0 Jets. Oh, all right. Forgive me then.
Yeah. We beat, what's called, I think, 15, whatever it was. We beat Minnesota when Chip kicked 5.
Okay. And he was from Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
That had to feel kind of good.
But the, all 5 were over 50.
That's bombs. That's like the Houston kicker. That dude just hits bombs.
Yeah.
Last time Washington won a game without scoring a touchdown was a 9-7 win over the Rams in 2009.
Okay.
Let's be really clear. Nobody's looking for wins without touchdowns. Like that. Nobody's pretending that's the goal. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat
it. It's not the goal, but you know what?
Awesome.
If it happened, I'm damn sure not going to be mad at it.
But you know what? They repeatedly, I think five penalties inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that
on their offensive line.
That really, really annoyed me. If you had seen me when that was going on, my face.
Where'd
was
you watch the game?
I was in the suite, and
big one.
Yeah, with all the former players and stuff. Okay. But I wasn't talking to anybody. I was that frustrated. I was pissed because I'm like, you get down here and you keep shooting yourself in the foot.
Sure. But for me, we're going to get into all of it.
Once the game was over, I was completely different because I'm up here saying, okay, how is this show going to be? Because they had done so much wrong.
Oh, your post-game show?
Yeah, and then when they end up winning it, it changed the whole mindset.
Sure.
You go to a different approach.
Sure.
You do the John Thompson. Now, you're gonna do you're going to critique, but you're going to do it in a calmer manner.
Dude, if you're a Giants fan and – you lose that game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew the kicker had issues coming in.
So he was hurt coming in. So that's why that first kick he kicked was a snap hook galore.
Dable's thing was he had a groin issue. He got hurt either ripping or pulling his hammy trying to chase down Eckler. He's like, we didn't plan on him chasing down Eckler. And the you know how the New York media is. They were killing him about not having an extra kicker up. I don't know if you saw
most punters can kick.
It was shocking how bad their punter was at the one extra point they rolled him out for. But I don't know if you saw Daboll at the end of that game.
When he slammed his head. Yeah.
I feel like the Giants believe they gave one away. It's pretty rare to lose to a team when they can't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I think big picture, if you want to know what to focus on, listen, the Washington defense is a
what seal. You need to focus on is tackling. I watched guy after guy yesterday. I don't understand and this is not just Washington, this is NFL. Guys want to make tackles while still standing up. Tackling means you go to the damn ground. Leave your feet. Do something. But all of this just thinking you're gonna just push somebody down, this is not football. They gotta wrap up and go to the damn ground, point blank.
The biggest message I could give, and he's a young quarterback. He's got to figure some stuff out. You'd like to take less shots. You worry about the contact over the course of time. But he had 16 carries last week. I told you it'd be fewer this week just because Tampa doesn't blitz as much. It's 10 this week. Like, it's going to continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way he passed in the second half is by far the absolute most important outcome of the home opener against the Giants. But just think about the efficiency. Brian, when's the last time we saw efficient offense in Washington?
Not often.
B, they put up over 400. They put up 425 yards in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were 50% on third down, 7-14. And a lot of those were kind of jammed up third downs because they had gotten dumb penalties. 10 penalties for 69 yards. Say you cut that by 40%, and that ends up being 6 penalties for 45 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably putting up 30.
Yeah.
Like, when Jaden is on the field, this team has a chance to score damn near every time he touches the ball. That is wildly different. That is what should be your big takeaway. The other thing that's wildly different in the D.C. area, the damn weather. It's cold. I had a late TV show. I came in late last night, about like 1:15. It was cold outside. By the time I walked from the garage to this office building, which is in one of the most godforsaken locations in the city, it was hot. Like, the weather this time of year is nuts. It's unpredictable, and you need to be ready, no matter what the temperature is, with a $99 heating and cooling check from the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. That's right. For just $99, a Crop Metcalf five-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system and assure peace of mind today, no matter what the weather brings tomorrow. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit Crop Metcalf.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
F.com. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In case you've never listened to our program, there's going to be a lot of football coverage. Football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, we made a point of really almost celebrating the fact that they got a dub. They hadn't gotten
you
a win.
I would say this, Jay. It was a lot of happy people in the stadium. In the stadium yesterday, in the stands. It's like, we got to stop celebrating the minority. Because I think the people that we always are addressing is not a large group.
Well, I'm not even worried about large or small or whatever. Because I think you and I, I talked about how encouraged I was with Jaden and just the kind of moxie of this team. I mean, offensive efficiency matters to me at such a high level, and we haven't seen it here in a long time. We haven't seen balance, Brian, in a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eckler, so just your running backs yesterday, because Jaden running.
I just like the way he started the game. It just let me know something good was going to happen.
Dude. The two running backs combined for 25 carries for about 170 yards, which is just fantastic. Eckler averaged 4.8 on the ground. B-Rob averaged 7.8. B-Rob at one point broke his career high for a long rush with a 32-yard run, and then a quarter later broke that with a 40-yard run.
He had 17 carries for 133 yards, it was?
Yeah. So 7.8 and 4.8. I mean, they're averaging 6.62 on the ground. I think you mix that with the passing that was spread around. I've been saying probably 2 months how much I thought Zach Ertz would play a really big role in this. Mm-hmm. In the first half, when they really couldn't get much in the pass game going, Ertz was there. He made some really big plays. That one kind of lollipop Jaden floated up that Ertz came down with.
Let me ask you this question.
Big time play.
How do you run a play and then go back to that play?
What do you mean?
After they ran the play, they ran another play on the sideline after that play, and then they went back to look at that play.
Oh, dude. So
the refs yesterday were pissing me off.
Well, the refs yesterday were horrible. And you know what? Obviously, this ownership group is spending a ton of money and making a ton of improvements. But whatever the hell was going on with the referee's mic yesterday, mm-hmm. the sound was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And then to couple that, at least for me trying to work this game, I don't know if you got service, but my computer, the internet was terrible. So it's like, generally, as long as I can have access to what is going on, so the website called NFL Jesus, NFL GSIS, Game Stats Information System, that is live information from the league. So if I can't hear, but I have NFL Jesus working, cool, I can still see everything. Mm-hmm. But if I can't hear and I don't have access to that, me and others, somebody whose name rhymes with Don Jime, we're going nuts because we weren't able to do the job. Whatever, they'll figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. But for fans that were just in the stands, that must have been infuriating to not be able to hear what the refs were saying, and they were out there all the time.
But my whole thing is, I always felt a play happens, another one is ran. You can't go back to that other place. Sure. A play already been ran.
Well, dude,
what the hell they were going to do?
They were challenging stuff that they then didn't fix, but then decided to fix something else. Like when they thought they had converted and then it became fourth and one. Brian Daboll also has that thing where he just challenges because he's pissed off, which is not a great trait.
Mm-hmm. But the referee has to be able to say, look, the play's gone. I mean, I watched the play. You see the ball is in Ertz's hands. They run another play on the sideline, and then they stop the game and go back. And that took a long damn time.
Totally. The game took forever. The replay reviews coming from New York are the replay assistants.
I'm a little sick of that already.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. That's a way of trying to do some stuff from behind closed doors, and you either make your little refs look stupid or look bad, and then you just try. Oh, you try to cover for them. Which one is it? Because that happened already two times against us in the first game, and we lost both of them. So I'm not liking that replay assistance crap.
Dan Quinn said this. I just got this tweet from Chief of DC. And Dan Quinn said this yesterday in the postgame, that penalties of aggression that happen in-game, even pass interference can fall into this, but especially if you get a roughing or, you know, as long as something's not dirty, but it's like you're just playing so balls to the wall that maybe you're over the line, coaches will live with that all day.
All day.
Pre, post-snap procedural stuff makes them furious.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, that's a reflection on coaching when it continues to happen and happen and happen. I think yesterday the red zone situations were a reflection on coaching. Ideally, they get that stuff cleaned up. But I just think offensively yesterday was the – I don't think this was the main course, right? Like, if this is a big, nice meal, like, if offensively what we saw in Tampa was –
a bad appetizer.
Yeah, or maybe like a ham sandwich, but from like a gas station. You know what I mean? Like, it's a sandwich. You could eat it, but it's from a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And not like Wawa, but like Sunoco. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Yesterday.
Jeff's corner gas station.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yesterday, we got an appetizer, and we started to get a meal. But then, like, your wife called, you had to leave. Like, you didn't see all of it. Like, there's a big, fancy meal waiting for them.
It's coming.
Offensively.
I mean, but I'm just –
but you got to be
– My whole thing is two games into this thing, and I understand everybody – this is a microwave society. People want stuff done, boom. It takes some time. And at least you saw glimpses of what it could be. And I think as they keep – because what I love is you have a young quarterback – who doesn't go out there and play like he doesn't go about the game like a young quarterback. Because when somebody jumped, he was in that ass. He was letting them know about themselves. You see what I'm saying? And I think ultimately you need someone who's going to, look, bro, we got to get this thing right. And over time, you'll start to see this thing grow. But I don't understand people that want everything to be perfect yesterday when you've been living 40 years. You still not, if people don't still have stuff perfect, give them a little time.
You know what happened yesterday?
They won.
They didn't punt.
Yeah. I know. I threw
shout out to Tress.
When Tress came by, I threw some water. He said, man, come on. I didn't even sweat today.
7 perfect holds. They didn't punt once.
I mean, we talked about that last week when Tampa didn't punt. Till late or whatever.
Tampa didn't punt till like the third quarter.
And then we were like, okay, boom, we didn't punt.
They didn't punt. I mean, Giants might be awful. We'll find out. And I think Monday night against Cincinnati could be tricky. But I think Washington can score now and move the ball now in these situations. Does that mean we need to have a conversation about this defense? Obviously. I think you were saying this last week. I think it continued this week. You are getting somewhere between zero and not enough from your front.
Yeah.
You're not stopping the run. Devin Singletary yesterday had 16 carries for 95 yards, basically averaged 6 a pop. A lot of that was interior. Whereas Washington's getting to the edges, certainly with Eckler and Daniels, the Giants largely won the run game on the interior. I think the entire defensive front, you're not getting the push, the pressure. They had one sack yesterday from Clelin Ferrell. I don't want to measure everything by sacks. Just
I think hitting
the quarterback.
The thing about it is, a lot of times, players get caught up in, they call it that little waltz, where you're dancing with the guy blocking you. You have to hit him and disengage. There's a way you got to get rid of him to make the plays. And if you look at football yesterday, you watch a lot of guys, they hit, stab, throw. And they're sitting there waiting in the hole, or they just go past the guy. We're getting caught up in trying to drive our guys back. I see it several times where I see the guards on skates, but the running back runs right past us. You know what I mean? So if you learn to engage, if you can knock him back 2 yards, throw him to the side and then make the tackle right there. But if you blow him back 5 yards and the tackle run past you and they gain 5 or 6, that's not a good job.
Daniel Jones dropped back 28 times. He had another 5 carries. Of those 5, my guess would be that 3 of them were scrambles and not designed runs. So that's at least, let's call it 30 times easy. Mm-hmm. Now, he was sacked once, but Washington combined to hit the quarterback. Not even sacks, just to hit the quarterback 4 times. Farrell had 1 QB hit. That was the sack. Allen had a QB hit. And Dorrance Armstrong had 2. Like, the defense, we have real questions about the secondary. I saw Emmanuel Forbes yesterday. I posted a photo. He had a big old rap.
I talked to him after the game.
Rap slash cast thing on his thumb slash hand. I would imagine he's...
Right hand, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, right hand. I imagine he's at least missing one more, but we'll see. I don't know. The secondary, they made a good adjustment. I thought BSJ had a good game yesterday. The forced fumble was really good. He at least slowed Neighbors down. Neighbors looks like a dude, by the way, B. Neighbors looks like a problem for 10 years.
Yeah, he is. But I can tell you one thing. When Louisville hit him, he jumped up, acted like he was tough. And you just kept watching him. All of a sudden,
as he kind of got to the sideline.
You know, it's just like that. You know, when you get hit, that adrenaline got you going. And then all of a sudden, you realize that hurt.
Yeah, he got drilled.
Louisville had a
good game.
He's aggressive. I love that.
He led them in tackles, had the big hit on Neighbors, like you mentioned. But unless this defensive front can start to generate some pressure, the whole defense is going to struggle. And I think it's going to struggle on every level because of players on every level. But what pressure up front can do for you is a lot.
It changes the whole ball game.
And I don't know that it's coming, B.
It's going to have to come. It's going to have to come with the players you have. The players you have, like the little thing I said to you just now, they have to learn how to hit, stab, then disengage. Yesterday, when you watch them, they are staying in connected to the players, offensive players, too much. Disengage, and you can make tackles. That's all they have to do. And I'm sure they're going to be talking about it. Like, you have to get it done.
Joe Theismann joins us at 11 a.m. We'll open the phone lines up 11:30. We're not doing blame pie. We're doing credit pie. What a day. All right, it's a Victory Monday on B. Mitch and Finley. Joe Theismann is going to join us in about 10 minutes. I'm really curious what Joe T. thought, particularly of Jaden kind of really settling in as a passer in the second half of that game yesterday. I thought he was really, really freaking good. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are watching in the stream. Wanted to say good morning to everybody in the stream.
I haven't been on the stream in a while. I'm going to have to look at the folks.
Phone lines open in about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes. I haven't even said good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Hello, Landfill. Hello, Jeffrey. We came out of the gates hot. Wanted to get it moving this morning. How we doing?
Hey, I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm feeling good.
Jeff was at the game yesterday. Very well behaved.
Real wet. Real quiet.
Jeff also just said that if the Commanders would let him call offensive plays like he does in Madden, they'd be cooking. Is that accurate, Landfill?
That is not
accurate. I mean, there was just so much that I can't even make sense of it.
No, that is not accurate.
I had to walk out of this room because Jeff was talking to B. Mitch about Madden. So then I walked in there.
And he followed you.
He followed me in there to talk about Madden. And then I came back in here.
He loves his Madden game.
Yeah.
Although he lost all his games in one league.
In the league he played with Darius, he was 0-for. He was 0-1.
But that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
Yes, the league played
different. Did everybody play under the same rules?
Play me with the regular teams.
No.
I'm winning.
The answer is no.
I'm winning.
I don't have the time to do that.
Landini, what'd you think of the game yesterday?
I mean, they got the win. That's what matters.
That's the prime thing you're
ultimately
going out for. You
they
set
got
out
the win,
everyone.
And Jaden played well. So, I mean, win-win, really.
I think
2 wins.
Like, there are a lot of things we can take away from yesterday, but I think you nailed the top 2. And I think the other stuff is further down the list. Jeffrey, what'd you think yesterday?
Ugly win, but I'm going to take it.
Ugly win is better than a pretty loss.
Yep, I'm going to take it. I'm good. There's a lot of areas of improvement to be made, but like you said, JP, we're going to bask in the good stuff today.
We'll do all of it. I just think you got to start with the good stuff. Like, because there was...
We're going to get to the good part.
There was a lot of it, is kind of my point.
It was. I mean, listen, man. Every game is not going to be a 28-21, 14-point win. Some games going to be just like it was yesterday. They may end up, like, hell, the Chiefs won by 1 point.
Okay? Last-second field goal.
A last-second field
goal. Over a good team.
Over a team that didn't play well the first game. Looked very lethargic the first game. And they were in at their home field. So it says getting a win is that's all that matters for the most part.
I think especially when you're part of a franchise that has a 9-game losing streak, that hasn't won a division game in over a year. Like, they went 0-6 in the division last year. Mm-hmm. You know what they are right now in the NFC East? 1-0.
Yep. And they are not happy right up the road.
Dude, I think the Giants got big trouble, and Washington didn't play their best but was able to get a dub. I think that really matters for – listen, I've given you my theory on NFL head coaches, right? There's like three buckets. And sometimes people can exist in more than one bucket, but generally there's three buckets. There's the person guy, the people guy, the leader, the morale, mm-hmm. you know, the charisma, all of that. Then there's just the strategist, dude. This dude's going to out-scheme you, whatever his advantage is, offense, defense, whatever that is, mm-hmm. that guy is better than you. Or that guy can put a staff and a game plan together that is better than you, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's, unfortunately, this exists, and people in Washington know this very well, the third bucket is just the ownership or management stooge, that they just hire somebody they know they can mm-hmm. micromanage, right?
Yeah. There are some people that can do both of those things, which you just talked about.
They're the Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, Joe Gibbs. Yeah. When you can be a people guy and a strategy guy, I think Sean McVay's on that track, even though they're 0-2. Like, those guys typically win Super Bowls, go to Hall of Fames. Mm-hmm. They're hard to find. I think Dan Quinn, to me, is very much a people guy. He is a locker room builder. And I think for what he's trying to accomplish here, to rebuild some confidence in the organization from within, getting a win is really freaking important.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's why yesterday was a big step. I was in the locker room. Nobody was doing handstands. This mm-hmm. was not like a, yo, we're going to throw a keg party.
No.
But they were happy they didn't lose.
Yeah, they were happy they got a win, man. Listen, just getting that first win or getting a win under your belt, that feels good, man. That tastes good. That makes you go out there and work a lot harder.
I'll tell you what, Joe Shane, Giants GM, I texted you. He was in, now a lot of times visiting.
Now, both of those, all those groups you named got to have a good GM. To give them great talent.
100%.
I haven't seen, I don't care what the scheme is. When you got horrible talent, it doesn't work.
Sure. I think, now listen, opposing front offices often are in the press box just because there's no place for everyone to sit. Joe Shane and a number of the Giants front office were in the press box. It looked like a nervous bunch, B. Joe Shane was wearing a fly-ass suit, though. I'll tell him that. But
he should be nervous. The man already told you. The game tonight can tell him a lot. And I wish Saquon don't go off tonight.
Oh, Saquon again?
If Saquon goes off tonight, Joe Shane might get a meeting.
I did notice this last night from our guy, Pat Leonard. I got to talk to Pat for a few minutes in the press box yesterday. Pat covers the Giants for the Daily News. He's been kind enough to join our program a number of times. He just tweeted out last night, Washington 21, Giants 18, final. The Commanders did not punt today. Strong chance there will be a new regime in New York in 2025.
Damn.
Yo, juxtapose that with what we were hearing coming out of training camp or after Hard Knocks when it was like made very clear, like, hey, Daboll and Shane, their seats aren't hot. Everything's cool. Don't worry.
And now how can they haven't sat down yet? It's warming up, baby.
You know the end of Animal House when Kevin Bacon's walking around and he's like, remain calm. Everything's under control. Meanwhile, the whole town's like up in flames. Look out. Look out, Big Blue. A win is a win. Joe Theismann joins us next.